little house cleaning here. People in odd records. Well, good morning again. It is a good morning. I do want to give a reminder to everybody that we do have an annual meeting, part two. It's going to go over our budget and to, from that, and have discussions on that. Then we'll have some prayer time. As part of our annual meeting, we will not be having a prayer time tonight, but we will have prayer, an extended period of prayer as part of our annual meeting, just for your awareness. But before we have the meeting, we will fellowship and have a meal together. So I'll bring a dish to share. At 5:30, we'll sit down and eat. When we're done eating, we will have the meeting. So I'm not going to give you the exact start time. Not certain on that. But we're not going to run forever on this meeting either. I think we're going to keep it rather focused. One other quick note is Sue Gerdeman's been working on a new directory for us. If your name is not in the directory, or if you would like your name in the directory along with your phone number, email, birth dates, that type of thing, make sure you talk to Sue. There is a single copy of the directory on the table just outside the doors. Check it and confirm that everything is correct. This is the most up-to-date version. Several people have turned in some corrections to and additions to Sue already. But just check your information. And if your information's on there, it's good. We'll have that available today after church and also tonight at the meeting. This week, Sue's going to finish it up, and we're going to print it up, and we'll have copies for people on next Sunday. So this is your last chance to make changes, additions. We've been talking about this for over a month now. So, in fact, it's coming close on 2 months. So I think we've given everybody ample opportunity to make changes. But somebody mentioned today that their birthday wasn't in there. I said, well, tell Sue. Okay. That, let's turn to our scripture. Proverbs chapter 2. We'll be reading the entirety of chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife, from her seductive words, who has left her partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to guide and direct, and Lord, to give us even understanding. Lord, give us that supernatural understanding which comes from the illumination of the Holy Spirit on your word. That knowledge which is not of man and of the world, but is indeed of you. Help us to understand and apply these words to our lives so that we can walk indeed in the paths of the righteous. Lord, I pray now that you would anoint me as I preach the word this morning, that I would indeed be preaching through the infilling and overflow of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that anything which I say that is not of you would be as if it was never spoken. But Father, that your words of truth would just be caught by each person here. That each person would hear what it is that they needed to hear this day to be encouraged by you and be prepared for tomorrow. Father, let it be your name which is lifted up and praised. Lord, let it be your people who are equipped to go forth and do your work. To do those tasks which you have prepared for us, Lord. Equip us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of a long one today, 22 verses. But you see, you can't really break this one up into smaller pieces because it is, in fact, one sentence. Even though the English puts that, it's one sentence in the Hebrew. Though it is 22 lines, remember it's poetry. I've been talking about the fact that Proverbs is poetry and talked about the parallelisms, and we see some of the parallels there, and that they do alliterations. They like to start off with different letters of the alphabet. Remember, one of the interesting things is there's 22 lines in this poem. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This type of thing is not a coincidence. It's something which was done intentionally to help bring it to memory and to help drive home the point and show so that people would remember it and know that it's important and see that this part is associated with that. You can't divorce the one from the other. They're combined. So we see that this is one topic, one major thought or point that's trying to be made. Now, there's more than one aspect to it, of course. We have 22 lines. It's looked at from several different angles, and there's even it's presented in the first six verses. We have, if you would, an introduction to it. But what is our main point? What is going on here? Mike, next slide. You see, this is the first nine verses or so. And what you see, I think it's 10 verses, but is that we start seeing these words which I have underlined and highlighted. Whose walk, course, every good path will enter. How many of you noticed these words that have to do with getting from point A to point B as I was reading the scripture this morning? Next slide. Now here we see that it's everywhere. And by looking at these, we say, oh, I think this might have something to do with the main point. The message that's trying to... When we see that the same topic is being hit on over and over, we see... You know, leave the straight paths, walk in dark ways, and the paths and the ways and the wayward. They've left, they've ignored, they've lead the paths, walk in the ways, keep to the paths, will live, be cut off from, be torn. These all have to do with the path, the way. Okay, thanks, Mike. Wisdom provides a path for us. That's the main point. Now, let's backtrack just a bit. We're told that this path is very valuable. We're told that we are to search it out like silver. Do I have any volunteers? Come on, somebody raise your hand. Come on, Jessica. You can pick out any four coins. Okay. Now, if I would have had one of the little kids, I would have got exactly what I was looking for. But Jessica took out two quarters, a nickel, and a penny. Now, I guarantee you, if I would have had one of the little kids up here, it would have been four quarters. They would have dug through every penny to find every last quarter in here. They would have looked for the silver, because that's the most... You can keep those.
Oh, thanks.
See? Next time you'll volunteer, won't you? Tell me, how many of you here have not dug through your penny jar looking for silver? We've all done it, haven't we? Why do we look for the silver? Because it's more valuable than the copper. Or actually zinc. But... we've looked through it because it's valuable. So we dig through those coin jars and we find the silver. Ah, more silver. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not in that which is valuable. I need it so that I can purchase those things which I need or I want or I desire. I go dig for it. Now, I also play computer games. Some of you are aware of that. Most of you are. My wife says it's an addiction. We won't discuss that point at this moment. But as part of these games that I play, you got to go search for stuff that's valuable. You got to hunt for it and find it. And you spend all this time. Most of the games I have a mining aspect to them, and I go and I'm actually, you know, mining silver, and I'll go and I'll battle beasts and creatures and go through terrible things in order so I can get to the place so I can get the silver. So we dig through our coin jars, we go hunt for things in games for that which we think is valuable. God is speaking to us here and telling us that wisdom is that coin of silver. It is indeed that thing which is valuable. And you need to hunt for it, you need to search for it, you need to... what does it say? You need to look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. How many as little kids went looking for hidden treasure? With excitement we go looking for it. That's what we need to do. We need to go looking for wisdom with excitement. We need to go looking for wisdom with expectation that we're going to find it. And with joy when it's uncovered. Aha! How many of us have not gone looking through that coin jar and figured, oh, there's only pennies in here, and then, aha! I found a quarter. Or the sofa, or the chair. We've done those things. That's what we're supposed to be doing with wisdom. God said it is valuable. He said it is so valuable. He goes through and explains how valuable it is. And it... now, I would like to liken wisdom to a map. Wisdom is a map. And it... George, I didn't rip that. I borrowed this map from somebody and now I've ripped it. I guess I owe him a map. So we take out our map. And there's all these paths, all these things here. Well, God's Word is our compass. And these two things are interesting because we have the path and we have the map which says all these different destinations. And we have the compass which tells us a direction. And it's when we combine the two that we can truly get from point A to point B the best. Because if we don't know where point B is, which one we're trying to go to, you can have a map all you want. It doesn't do you any good. Or if you don't know what direction you're going in, you can be on a map and be going the wrong way. How many here have been going north when they thought they were going south? Got that map, looking at it, going over the round the curve. Yeah, I see that in the map. And whoa, we're going the wrong way. So you got to have the direction too. Well, the map is, or the compass, this is God talking to us. This is God saying, this way. Now, I like this map. It's an orienteering map. Compass. I got this when I was, I think, 11 years old. And I still have it. And I use it for hunting and camping and every little thing where I'm going someplace. And it's a cool deal because it turns out I can set it on the map to see my direction to help with my orienteering. Orienteering is basically finding your way with a map and a compass and a set of directions. The compass, the Holy Spirit, speaking in our lives saying, God wants you to go this way. Go there. Okay. God's Word, the direction, saying you shall do this, you shall do that. Wisdom is the map. Now, when you combine all these things, what do you get? Well, if I have the direction and it says, okay, north is that way and I want to go north, and well, there's something in my way, I could have tripped and fallen on that. But if I had a map, said that there's something there, I'd come up and I'd go, okay, go around, and I can go back. That's what the map is for. That's what the directions are for. That's what wisdom is. It's our directions for life so that we can stay on the path. You see, you just don't go straight from point A to point B. We just don't go from here to there. You take that. Now, if you do go from here to there, again, I'll go back to my computer game as my example. If I don't go around some barriers, I'm going to die. You can do that in your car. I'm going to go from here to San Diego, and I'm going to drive straight through. I'm going to die real quick, or at least wreck the car, because if I don't at least follow the road, the path, you know, at the very least, I'm going to go over the edge of the Grand Canyon. But there's a few rivers and trees and houses in between. This is how we are supposed to get around in our lives today. We're supposed to use the map, which is the wisdom, which we're supposed to hunt for. And I was hunting for one of these things this morning. It wasn't easy. And I said, hallelujah, when I got one. We're supposed to hunt for that map and get the right map. Not the map that says this way to hell. We want the map that says this way to heaven. And the directions that says this, how you get there. You know, I don't need Death Valley map, thank you very much. I need a map of the road to paradise. Now, there's all sorts of pratfalls and pitfalls and all sorts of things that can get in the way. But with my map and my compass and my directions, okay, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit guide us, the wisdom that God gives us, we can get from point A to point B. Remember, point A is where we're at. Point B is God telling us where we're supposed to go. We can get there with the least amount of damage to us and or to God's reputation. You can't just bowl straight through on everything. You got to go around some things. And the map shows you, and so you can plan. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. That's wisdom. It is the way. It is the walk. It is the course. It is every good path, which the Lord has provided for us. This isn't something that we have to come up with on our own. I didn't make this map. It was provided for me. Doesn't mean I'm incapable of making a map, but the best map comes from a map maker. They get everything correct. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that. Have you ever given directions to somebody or written up, drawn out a map and you forget, like, there's a turn there? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You know, you just got to keep going right when there was one left in the middle of that. And they end up somewhere totally different. Well, without the map and without the compass, is it possible for us to get there? Yes, it is. Is it likely that we're going to get there as quickly and with less difficulty? No, it's not. It's more likely that we will. Remember, we do have that compass. It says that way. But even sometimes when we have the compass saying that way, one of the interesting phenomenons is people in airplanes, pilots flying instruments, and hunters out in the woods, they'll become certain that the compass is wrong. No, that can't be the right direction. But yet when you combine the map and a compass and detailed directions, the Word of God, combine them all three, now we're much more comfortable in believing, well, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it's saying that that's there, and if I go that way, I'm seeing that's happening. But just on its own, we are such that we will not believe that which we know is supposed to be infallible. We'll say, it's got to be wrong. A compass needle always points north. But literally, hundreds if not thousands of hunters and pilots and people have gotten lost, and some died because they didn't believe their instrumentation. They did not believe their compass, which said that way. But very few pilots, when they have that radio headset on and they're going the wrong way because they don't believe the compass, and they hear air traffic control says, flight 169, you are going the wrong way, won't take both into consideration. Say, well, maybe I'm wrong. That's wisdom. That path, that direction that's given to us that says, go this way, turn left here, go right there, stay on the path. It's the map, it's the directions on how to get through life that God has given us, so that we can, thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. If we ignore our compass and map, people, there will be consequences, and they will not be pleasant. We had 22 verses to make one point. Wisdom gives us direction on how to get through life, and it's the most valuable directions we can have. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You are the one who gives us real wisdom, Lord, not the wisdom of man, but Your wisdom. Lord, that wisdom does indeed start with fear of the Lord. Father, we thank You that You are indeed a loving God and You sent Your Son to be that sacrifice so that the penalty for our sins would indeed be paid. But Father, help us to remember that You are a just God, which means that You require that penalty be paid. And Lord, might we greatly fear having to pay that penalty ourselves. And so might we cleave to Your Son and receive His payment on our behalf. May we indeed be covered with His righteousness. And might we seek and find the wisdom that You have for us to guide and direct us through life so that we will indeed walk in the paths of the righteous. That You will keep our walk blameless and our course that of the just. May we indeed be faithful, Lord, as we take every good path and stay off the bad ones. As we listen and follow wisdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.